Well, come with me to the reading which we had, Psalm 121, page 516 in the Church Bibles. Now, this psalm was a favourite of Queen Elizabeth, the Queen Mother. In her later years, she was staying in one of her homes, and two substantial trees had to be chopped down. And her staff were worried. They were worried what her reaction would be. However, when she came out and she looked at the felled trees, she said, "I'm glad. Glad that they're gone. For now I can see the mountains." And then she proceeded to recite Psalm 121 from memory. "I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come?" Well, Twickenham is not surrounded by hills. Maybe there's Richmond Hill. But here's a psalm for every setting, and the more so this morning. You'll see the psalm is titled Song of Ascents. As pilgrims went up to Jerusalem to worship, they'd sing a group of psalms called Songs of Ascent, Songs of Ascending. Jerusalem was an uphill journey. So as you pilgrim uphill, you sing these songs of ascending. It's an upward journey. Well, the parallel is obvious. We too are headed for Jerusalem, Jerusalem above. And as we pilgrim onwards and upwards, we too are to sing these psalms. After all, we, like them, are passing through hostile country, through many dangers, toils and snares. I have already come. But how much is yet before us until we arrive safely home? Will we make it? Who will help us? I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? And the psalm has two drumbeats. The first is a word that occurs six times. It's translated in our English Bible, keep. So verse 7, "The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life." The Lord keeps his people. The Lord protects his people as they journey home. So the first drumbeat is the drumbeat of God's protection. It's a drumbeat to walk to. It's a drumbeat to keep in time with as we journey through this world on our way home. A young American soldier was ambushed on a high mountain in Afghanistan. And after a firefight, some of his men lay wounded, and help was yet to arrive. And so on top of a bleak mountain, thousands of miles from home, far from human help, he remembered this psalm, and he softly recited the words to his men, one of whom died in his arms. Brothers and sisters, when dangers are all around us, when we're far from home, far from human help, when we feel overwhelmed, this psalm tells us that help is at hand. "I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come?" My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. So we're going to look at this psalm together. There are no 3 points this morning. We're just going to go through the psalm, and we pray that God would meet with us as we do. "I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come?" The psalmist, as he journeys, it's an uphill journey, so maybe he stops to catch his breath, and he looks up at the surrounding hills. Are those hills filled with hidden dangers? Or are they places of safety? It's an ambiguous question, isn't it? "I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come?" My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Augustine of Hippo wrote, "What is my God? I put this question to the earth. It answered, 'I am not God,' and everything on earth said the same. I asked the sea and the chasms of the deep and the living things that creep in them. They replied, 'We are not your God. Seek what is above.' So I spoke to the blowing winds, but the entire atmosphere and all that lives in it replied, I am not your God. Then I asked the sky, the sun, and the moon, and the stars. But they told me, we are not the God you seek. I spoke to everything around me, all that my senses revealed to me. And I said, since you are not my God, tell me about him. Tell me something of my God. In a clear and loud voice, they replied, God is the one who made us. And Augustine says, I ask these questions simply by gazing at these things, and their beauty was the only answer they gave. Do you see? When trouble comes and fears are near and help is needed, even before I have time to pray, even before I have time to thumb my Bible and find a promise, I am exposed to the witness of heaven and earth, preaching to me, pointing me to the power, wisdom, majesty of their Maker. Help is at hand. Help is here. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Christian friends, it's easy to panic. It's easy to feel overwhelmed. When everything seems out of control, the Lord is in control. Heaven and earth are in his hands. When troubles are big and we are small, well, nothing is bigger than the Lord. He's the maker of heaven and earth. And when we're faced with impossible situations, with God, nothing is impossible. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Christian friends, when our world collapses, when we can't cope, when my life is just not safe in my own hands are too small to hold my life is safe in his hands. Look at verses 3-5. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. Can you listen to that drumbeat? Verse 3, he who keeps you. Verse 4, behold, he who keeps Israel. Verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. A drumbeat. The promise of God's protection. A little child is walking beside a road, and a juggernaut passes within feet. What if the child slips and stumbles into the road? But the child is safe because his father is holding his hand. And Christian friend, in a world of juggernauts, our Heavenly Father holds our hand. He will not let your foot be moved. We may hear the loud noise of the engine. That might frighten us. We might feel the whoosh as it passes within feet. But the Lord has a tight hold on our hand. And besides, he's walking on the outside, nearest the road. Little child has a nightmare and is afraid and cries out. So a mother comes in and lies down next to her. And because mum is awake, the child feels safe, the child falls asleep, and all is well. Christian friends, in a world of nightmares, our Heavenly Father never sleeps. Verse 3, he who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel, he who keeps the people of God, will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over me. I can sleep in a bedroom called peace. Verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. Now, the word you in this psalm, throughout the psalm, is singular. So it's not talking to you plural. It's speaking to you as an individual. That's why it begins, isn't it? Verse 1, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord. And so, Christian friends, verse 5, like all those other verses, is personal. It's not talking to everyone and no one. The Lord is talking to me. The Lord is your keeper. He sets a guard over me. He personally attends to me. He keeps his finger on my pulse. And if he feels that pulse is weakening, then help arrives immediately. If you like, he plumps my pillow. He makes my bed. He keeps a constant watch over me. Nothing is too much trouble. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. In the heat and the dust of this world, I can rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Can you hear that drumbeat? The promise of God's protection. Look at verse 6. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Now, sun and moon are opposites. It's a Hebrew way of saying God's protection is round the clock. It's morning, noon, and night. God's wraparound care. The sense of it is that we live inside a bubble, the bubble of God's protection. And nothing can pass that barrier without God's permission. So sickness, sorrows, satanic assaults, trials, troubles, tragedies, all have to queue up. All have to wait their turn. All have to get permission before they can come into our lives. And if they pass, it's because they will play a part in the story that God has written for us. A story that ends with our arrival in glory. That world where all is love. That world where Jesus waits to greet us. And if they play their part in that story, then they're not imposters. They've had to wait their turn, take their place in the queue. God has said, you may pass. They're not imposters. God will work them for our good and for his glory. It's an old hymn, sovereign ruler of the skies, ever gracious, ever wise, all my times are in your hand, all events at your command. Plagues and death around me fly, till he bids, I cannot die. Not a single shaft can hit, till the God of love sees fit. But verse 6 is saying more. Verse 6, the sun shall strike you by day. Sunstroke, the sun striking us, the burning sun. Because in this world we face burning situations. But the psalm says the Lord is enough. Nor the moon by night. Moonstroke. Struck by the light of the moon. Christian friends, the darkness, the night, brings many fears. What if I lose my mind? What about mental illness? Dementia? The psalm says God is enough. Stuart Olliott, as a young man, used to visit an old lady in a care home. I used to hold her hand and listen, and she'd talk, and she'd talk nonsense. So you say, how are you today, Mrs. C? And she'd say, oh, the chair and the radish sank, the drain, the sky is blue, and please cook for 3 minutes. And then he'd read God's word, and he'd pray. And after a short pause, Mrs. C would say, "Do you know, Pastor, he's as precious to me today as when I was a young believer. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night." Do you agree with verse 7? The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. When I read that, I think about Joseph, the son of Jacob. You look at his life and you wonder, what was the Lord doing? Joseph, he grows up in the mother of all dysfunctional families. His mother dies when he's young. He's hated by his brothers, hated so much that they sell him as a slave. They were going to kill him, but they decide better and sell him as a slave. He's taken down to Egypt, where he's then falsely accused of rape. And then he spends the best years of his life. He spends his 20s abandoned in an Egyptian dungeon. And yet it says here, the Lord will keep you from all evil. But as Joseph looked back, he could trace the Lord's hand. He could trace the pattern of God's grace. And as he looked, he could see the perfect plan of the perfect shepherd. The shepherd who'd been in it all. The shepherd who'd been weaving that golden thread of his grace through all those apparent disasters. The shepherd going before him. The shepherd at his very side. The shepherd safely leading him home. And so later he says to his brothers, "As for you, you meant evil against me. But God meant it for good." There were hard days, but no evil days. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. You see, Christian friends, we live all our days under the Lord's protection. When we come to our last day, when we come to die, what then? Verse 8. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. The outcome of our pilgrimage is never in doubt. The Lord keeps us through our journey. And when I come to that last mile, the journey that I must take alone, he will still be with me. My relationship with the Lord doesn't end at death. It can never end. He is my God forever. And if in those final hours, in the distress and confusion, I lose hold of him, then he will carry me those final steps, safe in the everlasting arms. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. As we bring things to a close, I said there were two drumbeats. The first drumbeat is summed up by that word, keep. And you hear it all through the psalm. Walk in time with it. Walk in time with it. It's the promise of God's protection. But what is the second drumbeat? It's the name that guarantees the promise. It's a name that occurs five times. Verse 2, my help comes from the Lord. And you'll see there, Lord is written in capital letters. That's the way it's written in English Bibles. But the Hebrew word is Yahweh. It's God's name. His name is not God. God is what he is. But it's not who he is. He is the Lord. He is Yahweh. That is his name. That is who he is. Now, what's in a name? If I say to you, Boris Johnson, Jeremy Corbyn, Joe Swinson, Nigel Farage, all sorts of thoughts are now in your mind, aren't they? Are these names you can trust? You hear a name, you then have an expectation. So to the name of Yahweh, what sort of God is he? What can you expect? What's it like to have the Lord, to have Yahweh as your God? And as you trace that name through the Old Testament, as we look at his dealings with his people, as we look at the relationships which he has with them, we discover that Yahweh is the name that you can trust. He's the God who doesn't change. He's the God who keeps his promises. He's the God who saves his people. He's the God whose heart beats for his people. Tender-hearted Yahweh, who loves at all times. The one who is invincibly, unchangeably, inexhaustibly, eternally devoted to his people. Devoted to his people in a bond that is unbreakable. The one who will never, ever, ever forsake his people. So if the first drumbeat is the promise of his protection, the second drumbeat is that it's the Lord, Yahweh, who makes that promise. The one who always keeps his promises. And the one who's not about to lose his good name. You've heard me say this before, but when I was speaking in South Africa, I met a lady called Edith. And Edith, she washed and she ironed our shirts. And she did it beautifully. Edith's name was synonymous with beautiful, clean, ironed shirts. I mean, they really were. I mean, I've seen ironed and clean shirts before, but this was something of a different order altogether. Anyway, one time there was a visiting preacher and she asked him for his shirt. So she could wash it, and she could iron it. And he was a bit embarrassed. He's probably English like myself, rather embarrassed at somebody else taking his shirt and washing it and ironing all the rest of it. So he said, oh, don't worry, it's fine. And he wouldn't hand it over. Edith said to him, no, you give me your shirt. Because if you preach in that dirty, creased shirt, they'll think that I washed it and ironed it. And then we start thinking that Edith doesn't wash and iron shirts like she used to. So you give me that shirt. Actually, you wouldn't want to argue with Edith. Do you see the point? She didn't want to lose her good name. Because the name Edith, it meant clean ironed shirts. Well, the Lord has a good name. The name of Yahweh. It's a name that speaks of love. And here is the God who loves his people, saves his people, protects his people, keeps his people. And Yahweh is not about to lose his good name. Christian friends, the promise of his protection, it cannot fail. Yahweh keeps his promises. He is invincibly committed to his people. Written over these words is his very name. But we can go further still. Because we know Yahweh by his best name. The name of Jesus. The name Jesus actually means Yahweh saves. It's the ultimate disclosure of the divine name. Now we really know who Yahweh is. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus, the ultimate disclosure of Yahweh's name, the ultimate revealing of who the Lord is. And up until that point, yes, we knew that God loved us. He loved the unlovely, the unlovable. He loved sinners. But we didn't realize just how much he loved us. Just how invincibly committed he is to his people. Because Yahweh stepped into our world. He came to save us in person. He left his footprints in the dust and he left his blood upon the cross. Tender-hearted Yahweh, who loves his people, committed to his people, will never let them go. He can't stop himself. He comes into our world. And there upon Calvary's tree, our sins are hung around Jesus' neck, and he's plunged into the hell we deserve to save us from our sins, to rescue us from the bitterness of the grave, and to raise us up to be with him in glory, so that his home is our home forever with the Lord. How can we not adore him? And if you've never bowed the knee, how can you stay at a distance from this God? I was with Andy just a few hours before he died. And he was aware. And he was with me as we read Psalm 23. And the final verse, "And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And I said to Andy, "You have nothing left to do except to go home." The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this psalm. We thank you that we can sing it as we make our journey home to Jerusalem above. We thank you it's not our hold upon you, but it's your hold upon us. And we thank you that you are invincibly committed to your people. We cannot understand it. There is nothing worthwhile in us at all. We're so unlovely, so unworthy. But we thank you, Lord, you love us with that love that only you have. Divine love. Love divine. All loves excelling. The love that will not let us go. The love that will bring us safely through. The love that will bring us to that world of love. To see our Saviour's face. To be forever with the Lord. We thank you that Andy sang this song. And we thank you that he's with you this morning. We pray that you would help us to sing this song as we ought to sing it. To march in time with its drumbeat. And to fix our eyes upon Jesus. Help us, Lord, to sing it together as we as a group of pilgrims climb upward and onward. And help us all to sing it as individuals too. And that in all things our God, through our little stories, our little blinks of life, that you may have the praise and the honor and the glory. because this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.